The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga and this is Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. This episode is one of our Built Heritage series where we focus on one of the heritage listed properties from around Southland, made possible through funding from the Southland Heritage and Building Preservation Trust. Our latest building is actually a group of buildings that make up the former Ohi Railway Board offices and depot in Wairio in Western Southland. They have both an architectural and historical significance to the story of Southland Rail. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, Lindsay Buckingham, the chairman of the Southern Steam Trust, who has a passion and knowledge for rail here in the South. So kia ora and welcome along, Lindsay.
Good morning.
It's really lovely to have you here. I have to say that I've been both fascinated and surprised by what I've learnt about the history of these particular buildings. I understand that they were built between about 1882 and 1947, and they're made up of a range of buildings, things like engine sheds, weighbridges, cottages, and apparently there was a very distinctive boardroom, and that Wairio had been selected as a rail terminus in 1878 to get the government coal services up and running. The Wairio line, which has been vital to that coal industry, was actually New Zealand's most successful private railway. I didn't know that, Lindsay.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating.
Yeah. I just always assumed that they were government-run, government-owned, but no, this one wasn't.
Yeah, and in fact, the actual Wairio to Ohi line wasn't actually opened until 1925. So it was preceded by a series of other private railways, which in the end succumbed to the newer, more modern, and taking a different route from Wairio to Ohi. The earlier version actually took a different route and ended up in a gully just short of Ohi, which they decided wasn't very good. So in the end they built a new railway, which was opened in 1925, that took them directly to Ohi and then eventually on to Birchwood.
Because I don't think we necessarily appreciate just what the industry of coal was, and getting the government considered it really important to get the coal from Ohi to where it needed to be.
Absolutely. I think in their peak years it was taking out in the order of 250,000 tonnes of coal a year came out of the Ohi and the Nightcaps area.
That's significant. Apparently it was also the only privately built and longest running passenger and coal transport route in the country.
Yeah, well, as part of the research work I've been doing, it was a wee bit of a surprise to me. The passenger services to Ohi, between Wairio and Ohi, which were used by the miners to get to and from work, that actually didn't cease till 1975, so when it was replaced by a bus service. So so they had passenger services right from day one, and they were maintained till 1975.
Yeah, those of us who are old enough to remember passenger rail, I certainly remember not that train, but I certainly do remember train travel fondly, I have to say.
Well, I mean, just as a bit of useful information is, at peak we had over 600 kilometres of railway line in Southland, and at one point all of that was serviced by passenger trains because it was the means of getting around the province. But yeah, the line to between Wairio and Ohi was one of the last surviving passenger routes.
That the Ohi Railway Board ran that line for nearly 75 years, but the buildings there that we have focused our website page on, they were eventually sold. I understand that there was a museum there for a while, but that they've actually been, they haven't been used for quite some time now.
I think the sale, eventually, I believe all the buildings are still owned by the government, effectively through KiwiRail, and the proceeds from the sale of those buildings from the Ohi Railway Board were actually used to establish the Wairio Community Trust that's used for the community out there. I think it was something on the order of $1.2 million was the amount set up when those were sold. So they're technically, I believe, the buildings in, today owned by KiwiRoa.
And of course, we are in March. It is Heritage Month, and trains are quite a feature of Southland Heritage Month for 2026. And I know that you've just recently shared the story of one of your passion projects, which is the restoration of the F-150 and the plans for the future of that. You've just done that recently. And of course, you've just had your annual open day, letting the public come in and see how things are going. But Lindsay, what was it that drew you to trains? Because people who love trains, they really love trains. So tell me about what it is about trains that you love.
Very quickly, I mean, for me, there's a photo hanging on the wall of my home office. It's taken at Christmas 1957. I was 7 months old, and I just happened to be sitting on the knee of one of my older brothers, and his present for Christmas that year was a little Marklin train set. So there's a photo of the four of us boys with the train set at the bottom of the tree, all set up, and me as a 7 month old. So that's probably where it started. And the little story I like to tell is when I was probably 9 or 10, maybe even 11 years old, can't remember exactly when, but I lived in Moa Street. We had the Waikiki Railway Station at the bottom of the street. It was quite a busy little station, and it was the centre for the local coal merchants. The LA wagons used to be delivered and parked in the siding, and three different coal merchants would fill their coal sacks up and trucks there. And the blasting wire from the mines at Ojai would get thrown overboard, little skinny yellow-coated wire. And accidentally, in those days, the station was fully signalled with searchlight signals, as they call them. We didn't know anything about track circuits, but we discovered that when you gathered up all this blasting wire and then started wiring up between the two rails, that we could make the signal lights come up. So I got a bit of a reputation around school for being able to do that. So, but anyway, it all sort of started. So I've sort of had a bit of a lifelong touch with railways, and culminating in the late 80s, where I was seconded to New Zealand Railways for 4.5 years, and was the project planner for the electrification of the main trunk line between Palmerston North and Hamilton. So for 4.5 years, I got to play trains with the real thing.
I was going to say that sounds like your dream job.
Yeah,
you get to do something you love to do, and people are going to pay you to do it.
Yeah, so I've spent a lifetime, 46 years, on major engineering projects, and railways have had a wee bit of a component of that, but it's just something I've always had a bit of a passion for. So
on this new built heritage page that we've got about the Ojai buildings, you're quoted as saying that the restoration of the steam locomotive, the 150, by the Southern Steam Trust in Invercargill adds a contemporary chapter to the story of the Ojai line. So explain what you mean by that, Lindsay.
Okay, well, when we set up the trust and aimed at getting F-150 back up to full operation, which we're well on the way to doing, our initial plans were just to run several times a year between Invercargill and Bluff. And for the last 3 years, we've been out to Crank Up. So our other trip we'd like to do is running out to Crank Up weekend, with two trips on the Saturday, two on the Sunday, as part of Crank Up weekend. But last year, in August last year, KiwiRoa officially announced that the Ojai line was being mothballed, basically just north of Launville, all the way through to Ojai, which is almost 80 kilometres, or from Invercargill, it's 80 kilometres. So we seized the opportunity to register our interest with KiwiRoa to lease 7 kilometres of the line from Launville to Branxholme, and potentially base ourselves at the old Makariwa Junction. The former Makariwa Freezing Works site has still got a siding and tracks on site, so we're discussing with the owners there about establishing our operational base there. So that's 7 kilometres of the Ojai line that has been mothballed that we're endeavouring to turn into a heritage railway. Because it would be a heritage railway, we can run more frequently. Like if we want to, we could run literally once a month or more frequently during the summer, and give the people or the community the opportunity to ride behind a steam locomotive and some heritage carriages, as well as doing the Invercargill Bluff run and hopefully out to Edendale once a year. So So that's, in summary, that's sort of where we're at and what we're aiming to do.
It certainly brings a new dimension to the Heritage Rail story, doesn't it? It's not something that continues to live in the past, that it's we're bringing it into the present and hopefully continuing it into the future.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a small group of trustees, including myself, that are managing the project, but we're looking to expand the membership quite widely, get particularly young people involved. We know there's a passion for railways and steam and heritage stuff, and we're looking to establish an asset for the community that will be there literally forever, but we're also looking for people to get involved and be the succession plan. All of us aren't spring chickens, so you know we're not going to be around forever. So we're looking to set it up, get it up and running, and then for others long term to take over its running and keep it going. So
Lindsay, from your perspective, what is it? If there was one thing that you think that you could get across to people, that what is it that makes the Southland Stories of Rail so special?
I guess that railways have been the backbone of Southland and the history, as I mentioned before. You know, we peaked at 600 kilometres of rail in Southland, and it was the making. It was the main transport hub and the main way people got around Southland. And goods got to market and supplies got out to the farmers and other towns around the district. So it's a heritage that a lot of which has been lost. And we're not the only heritage group in Southland, but Invercargill's never had a heritage group up till now, so this was the opportunity to set something up based in Invercargill, but it is for the wider Southland community. And we're doing, what we're doing is really companion to what the other heritage groups in Southland are doing. So we're doing something different. We're all doing something slightly different, but we all sort of fit into the big jigsaw puzzle that is Southland's rail heritage history and preserving that and giving the community the opportunity to experience all of these different groups around Southland that are doing very similar things but different.
And it's an example where you are offering something that has that intrinsic heritage element to it, but there's also that practical. So for those young men out there who go, well, yeah, I could probably roll my sleeves up and tinker away with something, that would be fun, you've got the opportunity for them to do that.
Absolutely. That's one of the beauties of it. I mean, there was if you go back and have a look recently, there was on Seven Sharp, Harry Andrew and Omaru featured with the Omaru Steam and Rail Society, and in fact one of our members is a protege of Harry. George started at Omaru Steam and Rail as a 13-year-old, so when he was, other story again I like to tell about George is when he was 18 he was licensed to operate a steam locomotive pulling carriages carrying in excess of 100 people, but when he got out to the car park at the end of the day he was on a provisional license, or a restricted license, so he wasn't allowed to take any passengers. So anyway,
it's a bit of irony there.
There is. So he moved on, eventually became a Kiwi Rail driver, and he's based in Invercargill, and he's one of our very keen members on getting F-150 back on the rails and actually pulling heritage trains. So
I know that this is not going to be the last time that we talk about all things heritage and rail, Lindsay. Thank you so much for joining me. And I do want to say that just there is that new built heritage page about all of these buildings and their fascinating stories on the Heritage South website. There are lots of photos on the page, thanks to the Rail Heritage Trust, who have very generously allowed us to share images of the former Ohio Railway Board precinct. And there are great stories about special excursions, celebrations and centennials with links to videos, some of those future plans, and more stories about the history of Southland Rail. So do visit the website. It is really easy to find us. It's just heritagesouth.nz and then click on the Built Heritage tab. Thanks for joining me on Heritage South, and thanks for listening. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us on the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through the Access Media app, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.